So President Donald Trump will head to France next month. He will attend the G7 leaders meeting. There will be a number of things that they're going to talk about. They're going to talk about artificial intelligence, trade, how to fight crime. They're going to try to hold China's feet to the fire when it comes to critical minerals, drug smuggling, all of those things. But certainly, Iran is going to be on the table as well. And Donald Trump holds a bit of animosity towards countries like France, like Germany, like Italy, certainly like the UK, for not being on board with what's happened in Iran. I don't think is the right way to put it. But when we had asked for any sort of assistance, whether it's just using military bases or requiring some sort of assistance from our allies, they haven't responded. And so it is going to be a bit contentious. Jason Rowe is the Republican strategist with Rowe Strategic and joins us this morning to talk about it. Jason, good morning. It's good to have you back.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Is this going to be kind of walking on eggshells, or is Donald Trump going in with a bulldozer? How do you see this going?
Has Donald Trump ever walked on eggshells?
No, probably not.
You know, I don't think it's newsworthy that he's going. It would have been newsworthy if he didn't go. But I do think, you know, this being the first G7 gathering since we attacked Iran is notable. And, you know, as you point out, I think Iran hangs over everything. I mean, it hangs over what's going on in the global economy. It's what's going, you know, overhanging everything that's going on geopolitically between us and many other nations. But it's also the first G7 gathering since I would say, you know, we reset the relationship with NATO, because to your point, this alliance that we've had for 70 years or more has really in practice been a European defense pact and not really functioned as an American defense pact. And that's what this alliance was supposed to be about. And I think there were some minimum things that European powers could have done to aid without getting actively involved in the combat, and they chose not to. And so I think the future of NATO, which, you know, isn't being talked about now, I think that's the backdrop for this G7. The G7 thing is primarily focused on the economic ties amongst these world powers. But, you know, for us to be involved in eradicating one of the biggest threats to all Western democracies in the world, we've enabled them for 47 years. So whatever you think about the invasion, we have to a degree neutered one of our biggest enemies in the world, and that's a European enemy too, but they've done nothing to help, and they've tolerated the regime's belligerence and threats, but they're nowhere to be found when this, you know, opportunity to eradicate them and create a new global world order.
Yeah, Jason, the president is, you know, we know has publicly accused allies like France and the UK of not doing enough in the Straits of Hormuz. You think that blunt criticism maybe strengthens Americans' negotiating position, or does it risk, you know, isolating the United States internationally?
You know, I just think we are too militarily and economically powerful to ever be isolated. They rely on us for so much more than we rely on them. Obviously, we have historic ties. Our economies do rely on each other to a large degree. But, you know, Europe, you know, when they created the European Union, which was a way to try to unite the Western European countries to compete economically with the United States, they built in so much bureaucracy that all it did was slow down the European economy. It's just layered in bureaucracy. The EU has five different forms of government that layer it. But we, you know, we're such a huge market. And I think when you look at our military spending, I think it is more than all of Europe's combined, particularly with the president's new proposal to increase our defense budget from $1 trillion to a whopping $1.5 trillion. They do still rely on us for defense, but they also rely on our huge market and our 330 million consumers that they like to export goods to. So I think we are still just too powerful militarily and economically to ever be on an island. But it is, I think, the beginning of a reexamination of what our relationships are.
This week, when the finance ministers met in Paris, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said that there is a need to impose more sanctions to fight Iranian terrorism, and that the financing sustains their abilities to carry out those threats. Are we dumbing down the requests from our allies at this point? We're just saying, put sanctions on them at this point.
Well, frankly, if Europe was more aligned with the U.S. on sanctions historically, we may have starved the regime long ago. But that hasn't been the case. They have looked for ways to do business with Iran, particularly France. Just as France, you know, was very much enablers of Saddam Hussein in Iraq. I think the United States and the UK historically have had a much more, call it moral, foreign policy, where we are looking to liberate countries and export freedom and our values, where I think, you know, some of the European countries, particularly France, don't really care what you do in your country. They'll do business with anybody that can provide them with the resources that they want or the markets that they seek to access. So I do think it's significant. I mean, I think about, you know, what's gone on in Israel for many years. It's the financing that keeps this stuff moving. And one of the huge, huge failures of the Obama administration was the Iran nuclear deal, where we sent them truckloads of money that all they did was turn around and use to further develop the nuclear program and put ourselves in the position that we're in. So economic sanctions work, but we need everybody to be participating in imposing them, or they aren't going to work. And I think that's been the problem over the last decades.
Jason Rowe, always great insight. Thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you got it. And this idea of the war ending soon, I mean, it feels like we've been here.
We have.
This is where we've lived now for weeks.
Yep.
Is, well, we're getting close to a deal. Now we're far away. Now they're not serious. Now they're serious. Now they're not serious.
Yeah.
It's this ping pong effect. And time will tell, but again, the markets even haven't been a very good predictor. Because they've been bouncing all over, hanging on every word. Coming up on the other side, SpaceX filing to go public.
Trillionaire.
Elon Musk be a trillionaire. It's next.